She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
Who wants to meet the Avengers? Well, they're fictional, but who wants to meet the author of the Avengers? What if I said it was for free?
One of the attractions is featuring Philip Kennedy Johnson. He's the creator of Incredible Hulk,
yes! Superman,
yeah.
And the creator of the Avengers Assembled, and Miles Morales is David Betancourt.
Yeah. You're getting David to come?
Yes, so it is.
Holy crap, that's amazing.
Lineup.
Goosebumps. You don't understand. Goosebumps. Guys, the Annapolis Book Festival
is April 27th from 10 to 5. All day, all free, open to all.
Ooh-wee! It has been a week, girl.
It feels like a long time since we haven't had to say some other person's name.
I know. I was like, wait, what do I say in here?
I don't know. So we've already filmed the episode for next week.
After this episode.
Yeah. And it's an interview with two of the authors that are going to be Annapolis. Well, one of the duo who's going to be at the Annapolis Book Festival that make up Liv Constantine. And before that, who was our, we had Chezzy, right?
Chezzy, yeah. We've just been filming out of order.
Yeah.
This whole season, and it's like messing our brains up. And normally when we film,
I actually texted you today and I was like, who's in charge of social media? Because I don't even know right now.
If we film out of order, it's like way out of order, right? Mm-hmm. We shove a book in and like we film with that person and then we kind of go back to schedule. Yeah. But with Con and the way our schedules have been this mm-hmm. season, like we're just like, can you do an episode today? If you can, yeah, that'd be great, because we gotta do it.
Tom really needs to edit this, so we probably should film it. but we're next week we're gonna have that interview in like a pre-con promo, and then the week of con we don't have a full episode. We have a 30-minute like kind of commercial where we did an interview with Trish, who's the
we're gonna be live, guys,
and then we'll be live
Saturday. Yeah. So
Saturday the 27th, all
day.
You're going
to get your bestie content, gang. It's just not going to be on the podcast on Tuesday. It's not going to be Tuesday. It's going to be Saturday.
Well, there will be something on Tuesday. It just won't be a full episode. But I have to tell you that part of the reason why I have been reading so much and not pod-related books, and what I've been gearing up for work is our Battle of the Books. So I'm in charge of Battle of the Books for the library system where I work in Virginia. And one of the books that we chose was Wild Oak by our friend Christina Harrington, author CC Harrington. Mm-hmm. And I arranged for her to come to our semifinals and see these 50 kids who read her book and their families and their teachers. And it was yesterday of us filming, not yesterday of when this mm-hmm. pod is going live, but it was remarkable. It was such a great day. And I'm exhausted today because of how extroverted I had to be. But I had dinner with Christina on Friday night, and it was lovely. She's just a really great person. And
she is. I love her so much.
She cares so deeply for kids, especially that like middle grade kid.
Yeah. Her heart's so big. I love her so much.
I do too. And she gave me the UK copy of Wild Oak.
Oh, that's so pretty.
Isn't it beautiful? So she doesn't like how Wild Oak is divided. And so, you know what? I will post this on Instagram.
It's so
pretty. Maybe I'll do a TikTok with it. But I'll post a picture on Instagram. So if you don't watch us on YouTube, she doesn't like that Wild Oak, the name is divided, because it's actually one word. It's mm-hmm. Wild Oak as one word. But the colors are just gorgeous. And then look at the back, too. I mean, just still.
So
the front, you have Rumpus.
Yes.
And on the back, you have Maggie. And it's just beautiful. And I saw it on Amazon, and I texted her, and I was like, oh, Christina, I am so in love with your paperback edition. I mean, like, look at the flaps on the inside.
Oh, that's so pretty.
It's so beautiful.
Why do the UK get the better colored, the prettier books? Why?
I don't know. Well, I was looking for a paperback edition of the book because I have a hard copy.
Right.
And that one is signed by her. So I didn't want to read out of that hard copy. So I was going to get a paperback edition. I texted her. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with the paperback edition. She's like, we haven't released the paperback edition yet. And I'm like, what am I seeing? And she's like, it's the UK version. And I was like, oh, it's so beautiful. I didn't expect her to bring me one.
Of course not. But that's who she is.
But that's who she is.
So I had an interesting pod moment last night.
What happened?
I had dinner with Matt out.
Yeah.
And I had made peanut butter cookies, special peanut butter cookies, so I could just decompress and
love that journey for you.
We went to sushi, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting there, and across the room, this woman starts going at and me.
Molly's waving, for those of you who
are sorry, watching. Big smiles, waving like we're friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hi. And she's like, do I not know you? And I go, I don't know. Do you live in Calvert County? Do you have kids that go? Like, that's just my first instinct. If mm-hmm. Someone my age waves at us, I'm assuming they know the kids.
Right.
And she's like, no. And I go, are you into books? And she goes, I love books. I read constantly. I was like, are you on Book Talk? And do you have, like, book podcasts? And she goes, yeah. And I go, Book Besties? And her eyes got all big, and I was like,
she recognized you from our podcast?
Yeah.
Holy shit!
She...
That's never happened!
No, it was really weird. But I guess she went to Cannes last year, mm-hmm. the Annapolis Book Festival, and has a friend that works the festival, and that friend had told her about Book Besties, and they listened to it together.
This has made my day.
I was stoned. It was really weird.
I'm obsessed with this.
It was really weird. it was really weird. And if you're that lady, she had... I'm not going to put you on blast, but you were also drinking. So we were equal levels of inebriation, I'm assuming. Matt goes, but I was sitting here and Matt was across from me. So he couldn't see like what was going on. And he's like, you're really overthinking your emotions right now. Is somebody watching you? And I go, I don't know if they're watching me, but now I feel like everybody's watching me. And so I'm worried. I was eating like this.
We're not celebrities, like they're gonna take pictures of us.
It just was weird. It was just weird. I just don't like getting looked at by strangers. And when I was telling my mom about it, she goes, Molly, you're a public figure. What did you think was gonna happen?
I mean, that's never happened to us, but our friend Heather Bookables on YouTube, the way I met her is because one of my staff members goes, oh my gosh, I think that's Bookables. I watch her YouTube.
Right.
And I was like, I don't watch YouTube BookTube very often.
Right.
Although if you are a BookTube fan and you're not already following Bookables, highly recommend it.
Oh,
it's good content.
She reads so much. Clear and concise about reviews. Mm-hmm.
And she's like one of the OG book influencers. And so
she has a
huge following.
Yeah.
And I mean, she gets recognized out and stuff too. And it's like, that's crazy. Like, I just never thought that'd be us.
I didn't either. But the fact is, like, we've had other dominoes recently for mm-hmm. Pod that is making me think we're going on the increase.
Maybe.
You know, like with we've had an influx of emails lately. And I think we're just on an upward trajectory, and that was weird, and I don't know if I liked it. Guys, stop listening to the pod. You're freaking me out.
Don't stop listening. And maybe this is not okay to say, but it's about freaking time, to be honest. Because we've been doing this for three fucking years, so it's about time.
It's about goddamn time. It's about damn time. In a minute, I'm gonna need us. No.
I'm gonna need a minute. I'm gonna need people to watch. Whatever.
So this week we are covering.
I'm so tired.
We are covering a cozy fantasy favorite of mine, The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches by Sangu Mandana. Nope, said that all wrong. How do you say that last name?
I think it's Sangu Mandana.
Mandana. It's long vowel.
I think it's
right?
Mandana.
She's Indian, so I would assume it's long
vowel. We have done our research, and we know how to pronounce the author's name. Go us.
I suck at, everybody knows I have dyslexia and I suck at language.
It's good writer. That you started a book podcast then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a good idea. It was a good idea.
I'm super honest about my shit on here. Whatevs. Whatevs.
It's fine.
Whatevs. It's okay. Anapesis. Let's try that word again.
You're going to do what?
I said, would you like a synopsis? But I cut
that the S's out. That is not what you said.
I cut the S's out and I go, anapesis?
That still has an S. When anapesis. That still has an
I'm
S.
I'm pluralizing it.
Synopsis. You pluralize with S's, Molly. What the fuck is wrong with you?
So much. So much. Would you like me to describe this book in a short amount of time?
I really would. I really would.
I swear, guys, we're good. Nowhere House is in a bit of a pickle. Lillian, the owner and the guardian of the three little witches that have lived there, has been missing for a minute. Jamie, Ian, Ken, and Lucy, the caretakers of Nowhere House, and the three little witches are desperate. That's when they learn that Lillian's solicitor is going to be paying them a visit. And still no sign of Lillian. Minka Moon has always felt alone with her magic. Sure, she has Siri, her sweet dog, and her pond full of koi. But the meeting with the other witches in her secret society, Primrose, by the way, hates that name, only meets the third Thursday of the third month. And, well, she's over it. So she does what most people do, take to the internet and pretend to be a witch online.
Think
Meg's Tea Room Gang on TikTok. And I'll put her shit in the link at Eeks.
I don't know who that is.
She's a book talker. The Cozy Fantasy crew know who I'm talking about.
Okay.
That is where Ian sees her and the adults at Nowhere House reach out in hopes that Minka Moon can help them with not only their three little witches, but their other problems. In this sweet, cozy fantasy, we have a lot of magic, a home full of love and noise, and some trouble. Let's fire up the broomstick and head to Nowhere House. No, that wasn't cute.
Okay. It was very cute.
The broomstick's her car, guys, by the way.
Yeah, but the picture doesn't make any sense because here's her car, and here's her on a broomstick. Like,
if you look at the UK cover, again, the UK cover is so much better. It makes way more sense. What is wrong with us in the States?
Well, this was probably a British import book. This was probably published first in the UK.
It is.
And then published over here. Wild Oak that I showed earlier was published in the States and then has a British version.
Sangu Mandana, oh, that's terrible, is new to Pod. She normally writes YA in middle grade. Irregular Witches was actually her first bout into adult fiction. What do you think of her writing style?
It was fine.
That's it. That's it.
I guess I need to say more so we can fill an hour of content. It was like fine. I actually had never heard of her before. I didn't know she wrote YA in middle grade. Which is
I didn't either till I did my research on
librarian.
It.
Well, I'm so proud of you for doing your research. I thought the writing was fine. There wasn't anything like, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was well written. It's just, I didn't connect with this story.
It's a great cozy fantasy, and it's a great book to help you just turn your mind off.
I don't know that it worked like that for me.
We've read
a few other cozy fantasies. Like Legends and Lattes,
yep.
And I connected really well with that one. And House on the Cerulean Sea is probably cozy fantasy.
That's a big found family story too.
Yeah, and I loved that one. And when you told me that this is like House on the Cerulean Sea,
it has House on the Cerulean Sea vibes.
So that to me set it up for something that it wasn't.
Gotcha.
I mean, I see the comparison between the two, but for me, House on the Cerulean Sea was just
different,
astronomically better.
That makes sense.
It's not to say I didn't enjoy this book.
Right.
It isn't a book that I was like, fucking Molly making me read this fucking shit, because those are words I sometimes say.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. It was just not. I feel like if we would have read this book in the fall, I would have a totally different reaction to it than reading it in the spring when I'm in the middle of reading a whole bunch of other really heavy books.
Yeah.
This isn't the kind of light I want right now. The kind of light I want right now is the MMF erotica that I downloaded on my Kindle, which was called Shared by Her Firemen, which, by the way, is one of the most poorly written books I've ever read in my life. The main character's name was Katie, and twice in the book she called her Kate, and not because someone called her Kate. She was using it as in, like, Kate took a walk instead of saying Katie. And I was like, listen, I'm okay with self-publishing, but I'm going to need you to edit your fucking book. You only had 45 pages. You could have made sure that the character's name was spelled correctly on every page. I don't feel like that's asking too much. Also, that book was listed as MMF erotica, and there's only one sex scene that is very poorly explained. So that is not erotica. It was just two guys, and the two guys are and a woman, and the two guys are most likely straight, and they're just fucking around. And they're like, well, she likes both of us, so we'll just fuck each other and her. That's not how this works!
You good?
I'm done.
Can we go back to this book?
Yes.
So, it's in December, she's going to be releasing a second book in this series.
Oh, it's going to be a series.
It's like Jasmine Gouliard, you know how, like, they're companion?
Yeah, they're standalone. Yeah, companion standalones.
It's going to be called A Witch's Guide to Magical Innkeeping. It's going to be also set in the countryside, and it's about a witch who goes and helps her mom, I believe, or her aunt, go and kind of take care of
this home. Did we meet this witch in here? Is she a part of
I think she might be an outlying member of the coven. Oh, sorry. The Secret Society of Witches.
Yeah. They never refer to themselves as a coven either.
No. And, like, there's a lot of differences in this book about witchcraft that I found really interesting. It made it less dark and less evil, you know?
But I think, like, I'm just not into the witchy stuff the way that you are. So I don't think I'm ever going to connect with a witch book the way that you will.
You and I have different relationships with the outdoors, and part of that witchy vibe is having a connection with the outside world, like the outdoors and like.
Yeah, but Molly, a lot of the witchiness, like if we're talking about true witches, true Wiccans and things like that, that isn't something that I personally believe. But you believe.
I'm open to that kind of crap. Right. Because, just me.
Because you're my pagan heathen friend.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
So I don't mind books about witches, and I've read some that I mean, it's not that I didn't like this book. That wasn't it at all, but I'm not going to connect with it the way that you will.
Absolutely
you know?
Not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cozy family. I said it twice now.
Whenever you're ready, Molly.
I'm getting there. Cozy fantasy. Isn't normally our genre on pod, but will you be adding it at all next season personally?
Well, we're going to do another TJ Klune next season. We have not finished. By the way, if you're listening and you want to send us some suggestions, we have not finished planning season 7. We're kind of trying to wait a little bit more to get some suggestions, but we do know we're going to be doing another TJ Klune, and that he usually writes cozy found family fantasy. So I think in terms of that, yes, but the fantasy I like is romanticy.
Yeah.
So
our variations of the fantasy world, I like Travis Baldry, that kind of style, Discovery, and you're on the romance side. So, like, we really need to find a book that's in the middle for us to
of wanted to add Brandon Sanderson next season.
Piper is begging me to add one of his.
I wanted to do
that's Neil Schuster.
The pirate one.
Oh, the pirate one. Yes. What's I'm it down called? With that.
But you put a pirate book on the list.
Did I?
I think it's called Tress of the Sea or something. Tress of the Emerald Sea.
Oh, yeah, I did.
And I had it on the pod list. This is not, they don't care about this shit.
Let's go back.
But I want to try Brandon Sanderson because I feel like he might be a good happy medium for us.
He might, I think. I mean, he's super popular.
I've literally never read him. So
neither
I don't.
Have I. You know
I don't
what?
Know.
Brandon Sanderson next season. It's been. We've seen the. This is such a great podcast. I am so glad we are doing so good on this episode.
I probably should have taken the nap before we filmed. Like, that might have been better for us.
I would have been stoned by then. valid.
Fine. Fair.
We've seen the orphan witch story time and again.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Minka Moon and her tale is any different? Do you like that we also had Jamie's story of being an orphan but not?
I really thought the orphan witch story here was very clever.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the orphan witch is like, they find out that their kid has magical powers of some sort, and then they're kind of abandoned.
You're a wizard, Harry. You know, like, yeah.
But he was an orphan. But yeah. But I mean, like, kids are just abandoned because mm-hmm. of their powers. But in this story, the witches are at fault
mm-hmm.
for... the fact that the mothers die, the parents die.
It's a curse.
And it's a curse. And the fact that Minka, is that her name?
Minka.
Mika.
I keep adding the N too.
I sure did read this book, I promise. Mika, the fact that Mika is not just a witch, she's the third generation.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandmother was a witch, her mother was a witch, and now she's a witch. And based on that, I assume if they ever made a story, spoilers, of her and Jamie, and they had a kid, that kid would be a witch. But then, would that
she
mean
would
that
die.
They'd be dead? They would
so
die?
Then they would have to, you know, this adds more stakes to this world, mm-hmm. and that's not really, like, her writing style.
No,
but
she's trying to keep it comfy.
Right, but if we're going into that high stakes thing, they would have to figure out how to break that curse. Mm-hmm. It'd be the only way for Minka to stay alive. They say Minka in the book, by the way, because of the British accents. It's super weird in the audio.
And I feel like that would actually be a good story, though, how mm-hmm. they go about breaking the curse. Because kind of the premise of this book is maybe you can't change the world, but you can change. You can create a change that will eventually change the world.
Change the world. Exactly. And she's not the only orphans in this story either. Mm-hmm. We have three children. Terracotta, who is the middle child. She is, I wrote this down because I thought it was important. Terracotta is a Vietnamese, she is from Vietnam, mm-hmm. and she was 8 years old, and she's an orphan mm-hmm. from there, and she was brought back by Lillian. Lillian's what they call her is an archaeologist. We learn that she's not, mm-hmm. but she brings these children back from her digs. Okay. So she brought Rosetta back from Africa. She is 10. And then Altamira is Palestinian and she is 7. Mm-hmm. Now, all three of these children had been found abandoned, just mm-hmm. like Minka. Mm-hmm. And
Mika.
God damn it. Mika was being left alone. And these three are growing up together, which in their world, witches don't grow up together. You mm-mm. keep them separated. So
it's
a really
too much power in one
yeah,
place.
They're afraid it's going to like attract bad things.
I had to look up, Altamira and uh-huh. what that was because I knew what terracotta was
mm-hmm.
and I knew what Rosetta was because mm-hmm. Lillian named them after great, historical discoveries.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what Altamira was, so I had to look it up. And then I realized I did know, because Altamira is a place, I want to say in Spain, that that these caves were found, that the cave drawings were 100% preserved.
Yeah.
They were in perfect, pristine condition. And actually, John Green, on his podcast, The Anthropocene Reviewed, this is one of the things he talks about, and it's also in his book, The Anthropocene Reviewed, which is you might not be able to see it. It's over here.
There. That. There. 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 It's, this is actually a great lead into the next question. magic is a secret in this world, like most witchy stories, but this is different. It's different in this novel. We have a spell that makes all the witches orphans. They're only female, and magic in groups is too powerful. What do you think of all of this use of magic in the novel compared to what we're seeing it in other formats? That made no sense, did it?
No, I think it did, but I'm going to try to process this out. So for me, what made this different was, number one, there were no men that had magical Mm-mm. abilities. In fact, we have a son of a witch, mm-hmm. and mom survived because he was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you basically, there's only women that do this. And so now you have to find people, you have to find a companion that's okay with the fact that, you know, that you're a witch. And Mika talks about her past experience with this, where she had a relationship in college where when she first tells the guy about her magic, mm-hmm. he assumes it's because she's Indian. And he asks her if it's like a cultural thing, which is so fucking
gross.
And then he basically abuses her magic to get things. He has her steal money for him, essentially. Yeah. And
He uses her.
And I feel like the way that she handled magic being only a womanly thing and the way that Mika experienced it is 100% what would happen.
Yeah.
It would be abused.
It would, because women...
And that's why a lot of the witches stay isolated. They choose not to marry, and they choose...
Or they hide it from their partners, or lie mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah, because we have one witch in here who's engaged, and her fiancé doesn't know.
Mm-mm. And she's like, "How do I tell her? Do I not tell her?" Like, she's really stressed about it.
Right.
And, you know, and magic in this is really fun, too. Which, we see that throughout, like, this scene for me, maybe you have one for you. It was when she's unloading the broomstick. And the koi pond's just floating, and her and the girls are like taking stuff upstairs, and she's looking out the balcony, and Ian's just like under the
trying to figure out. I thought that was hilarious.
Was there any scenes like that that really got you in this book?
I felt like that was really funny. I also really liked. Well, this isn't a funny one, but this is a sweet one. I like that Jamie hated the dog hair. He hated Cersei's dog mm-hmm. hair. And Mika realized that he didn't like it. So she put a spell on the dog so that she wouldn't shed.
Yeah. It's sweet. Because it's a thoughtful thing.
And he didn't realize that what was happening. But then he was like, what is happening to the dog hair? And she's like, well, you didn't like it. So I made sure...
She goes, I usually brush her once or twice a week, but I noticed you didn't like it. So I just put a little spell on her every day.
I made it go away.
And Cersei doesn't notice, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally like, Cersei doesn't mind it. And Ian, since we're talking about all the magic stuff, that's how Ian recognized her. Mm-hmm. Minka, like these witches all have like a little sparkle, right? Mm-hmm. They just glitter a little bit because they're magical. But you mm-hmm. don't see that glitter unless you're magic adjacent. And Ian grew up with a mother who was a witch.
So I feel like there's a whole story that could just be written about Ian.
Oh my God. Imagine Ian's childhood.
I was worried that he was a witch hunter in the beginning. And that's why he knew how to, like, a reformed witch hunter. Okay.
Right.
Like he used to hunt witches, or his family hunted witches. And now he's a reformed witch hunter. So he can recognize her.
Yeah.
I'm glad that wasn't the story.
And, you know, and I got the vibes, like, I know this is supposed to be a light story, but I got the vibes that his mom was a dancing girl back in the day, you know what I mean? Like a burlesque kind of, and that's because he's an actor, right? And it just kind of gave me the vibes of son of a stripper. You know what I mean? Grew up with women, kind of always been with women.
His dad was there.
Right. His dad knew how to deal with the magic. But his dad kind of disappeared there after a while, he made it sound like.
Maybe I didn't get that vibe. I got the vibe that his dad was there the whole time.
Maybe it was. Maybe I'm misreading the situation.
Maybe you just want there to be a dancing girl in this book.
I always want there to be a dancing girl in this book.
I feel like that's accurate.
Nowhere House gives the reader House of the Cerulean Sea vibes, except for April. April does not see the House of the Cerulean Sea vibes.
I see it. I just don't think it's as good.
Valid. The three girls have a loving adult to watch out for them, but Lucy, Jamie, Ian, and Ken lack one thing the girls truly need, a witch, to make sure that they are safe and protected from their own magic. Mm-hmm. The choice to use social media to find a witch was an interesting one. How did you like that this was part of the story?
What I really liked was that she was certain that the email was for sex.
Yes! She's like, people are so gross.
Somebody wants to have witchy sex. That's what this email is about. And it wasn't that. It was like, the subject line was witch wanted. She was like, yeah, this is definitely about sex. Yeah, and I think even when she was on her way, she was still saying she wasn't totally convinced it wasn't a sex thing.
So there's this line, I saved from page 21 that mm-hmm. is, it's from Minka's point of view when she first gets there. Minka. Thank you. An absent archaeologist, a housekeeper, a librarian, a gardener, a retired actor, and three unlikely witches. A backstory when it was only the weirdest Minka could have ever heard. Archaeologist. Yeah. Yeah. It's just so funny.
I also want to point out that they didn't just want Mika because she was a witch. They wanted her because she was a person of color.
Yep.
And they wanted her to sort of teach the girls what it meant to be a witch, but also yep. what it means to be a witch when you're a person of color and what it's mm-hmm. like to be a person of color. And Mika was like, I cannot begin to explain to them what that feels like because they are not Indian and they are not me.
Right. And they're like, and she's like, you know, like this timeline you're giving me, I can't teach them all the things, right? And they're like, yeah, we know that. Just like, can you bottle it down a little bit? No, this isn't the SATs. We're not cramming.
I'll do my best.
There's a lot of complex relationships at Nowhere House between the kids and Minka and Jamie trying to sniff each other out. And then there are other relationships in this story. Nope. Are there any other relationships in this story that stuck out to you? Did you enjoy the love story between Minka and Jamie?
That's the story I wanted to read.
Minka and Jamie.
I didn't really care. I mean, I thought the bits with the girls were very funny. I could have done without Ian and Ken, even though I know they were both sweet. Ian's very funny. Ken is like, I don't know.
Best gardener sort of, in the world.
They sort of remind me of like the yin and yang gay men couple where it's like, it's actually any couple where one's really Matt grounded and one's really not. Yeah. It's like that. But, like, I don't know. The story I wanted to get was just Jamie, was the story with Jamie.
Yeah.
And I feel like, not that she didn't balance all of these characters well. Like, I don't want to say that. But I don't feel like all the characters were necessary.
Yeah.
You could have had two girls.
You like, you cut Lucy out of that story. You cut Lucy out of that story. Nothing.
Nothing. It changes nothing. She's barely in it.
Yeah. There is a lot of...
I mean, maybe it's just Ian and Jamie that are there.
So those characters fill the world as, like my cushions fill my couch. You know what I mean? I had extra pillows. Do I need them? No, but... they're nice to have.
But it was, the problem was because she, in the witch world, also had a bunch of characters to balance.
Yeah.
Like, I know that those characters weren't as integral to the plot.
Right.
But we know about them, and mm-hmm. they come up in more than one spot, so it was just a lot.
The story between her and Jamie
was my favorite. And I really love the spot where she, after she basically goes into like her witch coma. I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't remember what it's
called.
That's
a great way to call it.
She's in like a witch coma and she goes to meet Primrose. And Jamie knows that she's going to be like, I actually thought maybe the secret was Jamie was a witch also. And then he was the first male witch, but that never came up. But, anyway, he goes and finds her and he goes to take her home. And she says something about him kissing her, and he's like, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, well, fuck. And he's like, I'm not going to do that either. And I, to me, like, that was that witty banter that I look for in my stories, because there's a grumpy sunshine element. And so that is what I was, that's what attracted me to this book. That's what made it for me. I didn't care about the witch stuff.
Yeah. See, the relationship stuff, I could have taken away.
Like, see, because that's because our preferred reading. Like, you don't read romance novels like I do.
No.
And I don't read historical fiction like you do. But you could throw this book in any time period and delete the romance, and it would be a great historical fiction book.
Yep.
You could put this book in any time period, or in modern time period, and delete the witch stuff, and it's a great romance.
Yeah. So it's a very balanced book. That is for sure. That is for sure.
I'm not sure that's what I was saying, but we'll go with
it. Yeah. Sure.
I'm saying it's balanced for us. I don't know that it's balanced for everybody.
There is a conversation about representation in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Mika was brought from India as a child, be cared for by Primrose, a British woman. Mm-hmm. Lillian has done the same with the three girls. Rosetta is African descent. Terracotta is Vietnamese, and Altamira is Palestinian. Lillian, did the same with these three girls. Having a role model for each of them was important to Mika as soon as she met them.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a conversation on magic for Mika, but also the girls to see people of color like themselves. What do you think about the author putting this into the novel?
But see, I disagree with you, because what I previously said, she said she couldn't make it about that.
Right, right. I mean, she's like, yes, I can be, but I can't be.
And this goes back to when we interviewed Nikki Payne in February, when we talked to her about her newest book, Sex, Lies, and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about how when she was doing her research, she wasn't just researching the Native American, the indigenous experience in Maine.
Right.
She was researching the African American experience in Maine as well. And I made a comment about how I didn't think about that, because I think the assumption is, well, she's an African-American woman, she can write what she knows. But being an African-American woman doesn't mean that she knows the experience of every African-American woman.
No, especially since she grew up in Houston. She now lives in Bowie, or she lives in the D.C., Bowie, Baltimore area. Like, she lives here, you know what I mean? So her experience of living in this kind of area and living in Houston is not going to be the same as being in Maine.
Right.
Because Maine's trees and white people.
And Mika does not have the same experience with these girls either.
No.
She doesn't know what it's like to be Vietnamese and England.
The only thing she knows that she can explain is how it is to be a witch separated from her others. You know what I mean?
And Primrose took Mika when Mika's mother died, not because she was collecting young witches like Lillian was. She took Mika because she made a promise to Mika's grandmother.
Right.
That she would care for
any
her
children.
Descendants.
Yeah.
Right.
So the next two questions kind of go back to back. So we're talking about the ending.
Okay.
Mika has always been alone. When she figures out the truth about Lillian and that Jamie specifically was lying to her, were you surprised that she fled?
No. And the reason is because I am big fight or flight. That's me too. It's my natural reaction to anything is, okay, now how the fuck do I get away from here? Like, I just need to not be a part of this anymore.
And the fact
was the way that she was raised.
Yeah. And the fact that she went to the only, like, she only had one place she could go. She didn't go to Primrose. She didn't go to anybody else in the secret society.
She didn't want to tell anyone the secret. She didn't want
to
betray
them. She went to her home that she hasn't lived in since she was a child, because she had nowhere else to go.
But Primrose gave her that home, so she was hers.
Right, but it was dusty and gross.
I mean, she's a witch. She can clean it like that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very kind of her and very brave of her to take the space she needed to process what she now knew and promise that she would still come back before the solicitor was there.
Exactly. Like, she could have blew, like, we're the next question talks about that surprise. She could have blown the hat off this.
Oh,
she
could have
called
absolutely.
The solicitor. She could have called the, you know, the sister of Lillian and, like, just blown this all up. And she didn't.
But so, instead, she practiced positive mental health. And even though it looks self-care. Like she ran away, sometimes you need to separate yourself from the problem to heal from it.
Yeah. And she gave herself the space to figure out what she needed in this situation.
Yeah. It's and then sure. Jamie didn't respect that, and I'm so thankful he didn't.
I know. Lillian's death is a huge surprise to us, the readers.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised?
Yes.
She was underneath the sunflowers at Christmas.
Yeah, that made a lot more sense when that reveal happened. But no, I did not think she was dead. I figured she was traveling, like they said. I really thought the secret was going to be that Jamie was somehow a witch, and it had never happened that a male had been a witch before. And now, how the fuck do we fix this? Mm-hmm. And they needed to keep that secret because he was at danger.
Mm-hmm. I figured my thought bubble was Lillian. Like, when they couldn't find Lillian and couldn't get in contact with her, I was like, oh no, she's dead somewhere and they don't know. Or somebody's napped her, right?
It's sort of worse what it ends up being because Lillian being dead is fine. Like, her being dead is fine. Them burying her in the backyard and then
it's
hiding it.
Practical magic. It's giving.
It's giving felony.
So that's not the last twist in this book either. So the twists don't stop. Coming right after Lillian's death, we learn that Lillian's mystery sister is actually a twin. And that twin is fucking Primrose.
Primrose.
Did this surprise you?
Yes.
What did you think of the ending?
I like that she was able to change Primrose a little. You know, that she could, even though Primrose knew the effects of the witches gathering together, that she was able to see that there could be more. And Primrose pretending to be her sister and, you know, basically putting a spell on the solicitor so that he wakes up and he's like, what the fuck am I doing? Oh, maybe I didn't.
They roofied him with magic.
And then when he shows up and sees her and she's all like, you're fired, brah.
Like, you're the worst.
Yeah. I like that she did that. And you know why I liked it? Because Primrose doesn't seem to care about anything, but she did love Mika.
Mm-hmm.
You know who she reminded me of?
Who?
McGonagall.
Yes! And throughout this book with Primrose, we're slowly seeing that Primrose is acknowledging that Mika is grown. She's strong as a witch. Mm. She's strong as a human. And she's like, oh, I'm going to have to pass the torch to this kid. This is the one I have to give my, like. And so when Mika tells her everything, she's like, okay, I'm going to trust her. I'm going to go with this because I know this child's heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It was a good book. Final thoughts, Goodreads.
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Because I did like it. It just wasn't, it didn't hit the mark for me completely. It's not one that I'll reread, but it's also one that if somebody brought it up in conversation, I'd be like, oh yeah, I read that. There's this part that I liked. The story I really liked was Mika and Jamie.
Yeah. I love the little found family story in it. It's just,
you're a big fan of found family.
I am, and I'm always looking for my found family, though, so.
Bitch, I thought you found it.
I did. I love your chitlins.
You're supposed to love me.
I love you. You gave me bit nephews.
What the fuck ever, Molly?
I'm so excited to see Sammy Cakes. He keeps promising Aunt Molly hugs.
That little boy's been getting in trouble lately.
Uh-oh. Aunt Molly, him talk. You want to talk about?
It's not stuff that, like, it's ADHD. Like, it's his teacher.
ADHD!
His teacher was walking on the edge of the blacktop in the grass and told the kids, don't walk on the blacktop. And he's like, then why are you doing it? And she wrote us a long note about how disrespectful that was. But to him, he was just asking.
He was just like, if we're.
Because
if
he was inquiring, like, wait, if we can't do it, you're doing it. Is that what's happening? Like, how is this okay?
I need more information.
I totally know why he asked it, but I have to tell him you can't do that.
I'm always the kid that's going to need more information. You mm-hmm. can't tell me no on something mm-hmm. and then do it in front of me. I'm going to mm-hmm. need to know why it's okay for you and not me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ADHD brain, equality. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, man. Okay, you want to talk about Khan?
Sure. So we are interviewing 5 authors in person. So next week we'll have an interview with the writing duo that make up Liv Constantine.
What a great book, by the way. Read that novel.
The Senator's Wife.
So oh my good. God. It's so good.
So good. And it's
so good.
It's a psychological domestic thriller.
Psychological thriller.
And I don't like that. And it was good. I liked it. So definitely read it. And then at Con will be Annapolis Book Festival on April 27th. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking to 5 authors. So I have all of their books in front of me. So I'll go through them. So we're going to talk to Tara Shelton Harris about her book, One Summer in Savannah. And I don't know, did we tell the story about her yet?
No.
I'll tell it again. Maybe I've already told it. But she emailed us and said that she was friends with Nikki Payne and that she had just listened to Nikki's episode. So she was really excited to come on our podcast. So
we're excited to have her.
And I'm about halfway through this
book. There is a trigger warning with that book, gang.
Yeah.
There is a trigger warning with that book. So if you read that, just be prepared.
Yeah. And I'm about halfway through that one now. And then we're going to talk. We're also going to, and this is in no particular order because we haven't released the schedule yet.
The schedule's loose.
Yeah. And then we have Heather Webb. We're going to talk to her about Queens of London. That is her newest book. And you've already read this one. I haven't read this one yet.
This is historical fiction. This is fun. This is a great historical fiction read. If you're like marking off checks, this is 3 women's different points of views. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And then we're also going to be talking to Meg Eden Kuwat, who wrote Good Difference. And it is a story, it's a middle grade story about a girl who is autistic. And Meg is a neurodivergent herself. So I'm excited to get that story.
It's written in verse, guys.
It's a novel.
It's written in verse.
It's a really good book.
It's so cute. Fucking love that.
We're also going to be talking to Kate Myers about her book, Excavations. I laughed through most of this. It's very, very good.
I just started it. I'm so God blessed excited for that book.
Isn't it funny already, though?
It is.
Like,
it's
the first
so
chapter,
good.
It's like, the first layer is the Germans. And yeah. Nobody
cares about the Germans.
That's so funny. All right, and the last author we're going to be talking to is Stephanie Dre about her newest book, Becoming Madam Secretary.
I just finished this.
This book is thick.
That's holy a thick mama. Cow, guys. Okay, make time for this book, but it is good. Let me tell you.
And this book just came out in March. Just came out in March.
This woman was the first woman to hold higher office.
Hmm. Is it based on like a true?
Yes.
I know it's historical fiction, but
this
is
based on Frances Perkins, the first woman to hold Department of Labor.
Wow.
Yeah. She gave us Social Security.
That's my woman walking away book, by the way.
That's a woman walking away novel. And it is blasted good. We are so glad you guys joined us this week.
Yeah. I'm sorry for my low energy and our awkwardness.
We're always awkward, gang. Duh.
I'm gonna
that may BLTs. I'm going to go have lunch.
I'm going to take a nap.
All right, besties. We'll see you guys next time.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches by Sangu Mandana. Your book besties are Molly Biggs, April Watkins, editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.